Welcome to Tigers SRD with two hosts who always start on second. Chris Brown.
Never-ending parade of mediocrity.
And Roger Castillo.
Oh, Roger, you live in Detroit. Da, 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 da.
Hello, and welcome to a new episode of Two Tigers SRD here at MotorCityBengals.com for Tiger Mind Report. I am Rogelio Castillo alongside Ms. Chris Brown, Youper, and we have our guest tonight from around the foghorn, Jeff Young, talking some Giants. We'll get to the Giants here. Jeff, greetings. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing today?
Good. I expected you the picture for some reason to have your sunglasses.
I can go grab those sunglasses if you want.
That's better, right? But there's a lot to get to between the Giants and the Tigers. The Giants, the best team in all of baseball. The Tigers, the best team in the second half of baseball, which is a sentence I thought I would never say. We'll get to you in a second. But first things first, Chris, why don't you ask Jeff a question, the question we ask our first-time guests.
All right, can you hear me?
I can.
All right, so my microphone is working again. I don't know what I did. But, yeah, Jeff, thanks for joining us. We always like to ask our guests about their earliest baseball memory. So if you got anything specific.
Sure. I think it was like 1994, 93. My grandma took me to a Giants Expos game, which is obviously Expos, a very old-timey term at this point, right? And that was probably one of the first memories that I had. I got to see Bonds and Will Clark, or not Will Clark, Matt Williams play. And it was pretty cool. Candlestick Park, it was windy as hell. And, it was just kind of a dumpster, but it was our dumpster. So it was nice.
Yeah. That would have been one of Bonds' first years with the Giants, right?
Yeah, it was his second season. I think if I'm remembering correctly, if it was 94, early in the 94 season.
Yeah, it was 93 when they had that pennant race with the Braves.
Yeah, that was a forgettable season for a couple of reasons.
My favorite, one of my favorite Giants of all time is because he had a great mustache and beard, is Beck. And then you hear the story about him living in a trailer outside of the baseball ballpark and everything, and him and along Kevin Mitchell winking at one hand catch in left field. It's still one of those memories, but it was just the Bay Series in 1980, or was it 88? Or I always get those years confused.
It's 89, I think.
89. Yeah, the Giants to me have always been like one of the things I love about them is their jerseys, the hats. The orange with the black, and then that late 80s Giants home jersey. The lettering on that is so cool. I wish they'd bring that back. That's one of my favorite jerseys of all time.
Yeah. They've got some good ones.
Yeah, for sure. And it's one of those things, too, where, I mean, do you miss having the name on the back of them or not really? Doesn't it really matter to you?
I know for some people it's kind of people would prefer not to have the name in the back. I'm kind of indifferent. It's nice, especially now with how the Giants, they cycle through the roster, and it's just nice to kind of put a name to a face sometimes, because they'll call somebody up and, I should know about this stuff, but I'll see somebody on the mound and I'll be like, who is that guy? And then I'll be like, oh, Jay Jackson. That's right. He was just called up a couple of days ago.
Waiting for the Jason McMahon reference to come up, a former Tiger farmhand.
He's in Triple A right now. I'm a bit of a fan of his. He's having a nice season with the River Cats. I think before he signed with the Giants, he had just as many strikeouts as walks as a pro, which I think that's one of those cool stats that stands out, and you don't really see that all that often. He's playing all around the field.
There's a little bit of a delay there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's playing all around the field, hitting pretty well. And, he's making some noise in AAA. I don't know if he's going to play for the Giants this year at any point, because their 40-man roster is pretty – it's got a lot of depth right now. But he is definitely making some noise in Sacramento.
Yeah, he's playing first base right now for the first time. I do the them boys reports for the Prospects Live, and I've been keeping an eye on him because I thought, as a Tiger, and Chris mentioned this on his draft piece, he was a pretty good guy to have around for draft for death purposes. And unfortunately, for whatever reason, he didn't get an opportunity, unlike, you know, maybe like Mike Gerber or what have you. I don't know. Chris, do you think Gerber is the same as Grzan a little bit or more power?
Yeah, I think Gerber was more of a power over hit guy. Grzan strikes me as kind of a classic tweener where he could hit a little bit, but that doesn't have the power to really profile in the corner, and he's not a great defensive center fielder. And he played some second base too, right?
Yeah, he's playing some second base too. Oh, wow. He's playing everywhere.
I didn't realize he was playing second base, but so we'll get back to the Giants in a minute, but I wanted to talk about the Tigers a little bit. The Tigers have won seven in a row. They won today. They beat the Rangers, who it's like everybody's excited and everybody's pumped. And look, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, and I'm not. But it's just like it's hard because the Rangers are terrible. I mean, Folkonevich, thank you, was just – he looked like just – I mean, like just, everything was just like bad, but the Tigers took advantage of it. He was just – he looked like he did when in Atlanta, like towards the tail end of Atlanta. He just was giving up everything, and the Rangers himself, offensively speaking, the Tigers took advantage of a bad Rangers offense that couldn't really get anything together. But I don't know. I'll start with you, Youper. I mean, Tiger fever is rampant across the Motor City.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I know you are all of us out of the season predictions. You're the one that was the most quote unquote cynical. But I like to believe you're the most realistic. But I'll start with you, Youper. Are you buying or selling the hype? That is
Tiger fever.
Well, I'm buying enough to say that they are better than I thought they were going to be this year. You know, last week we talked about how this was their opportunity to get hot. They were coming out of the All-Star break with 18 games against sub 500 teams and 12 of them at home. I didn't think they'd come out and reel off the first seven, but that's great. And it's been very fun. And I don't blame fans who are having a great time with it. They should. I've been having a lot of fun. You know, this has been a fun week of baseball. The Rangers are kind of trash right now. They're going to have the first or second draft pick next year. And Minnesota is playing pretty poor baseball as well, with some injuries, and the pitching has just been devastatingly bad. So it's all come together. The Tigers have gotten hot. They're playing some weak teams, and they have two more weeks of weak teams. So we'll see what happens. You know, Kansas City went into Milwaukee and swept them. So the Tigers are going to Kansas City now. We'll see how that goes. It should be a good series.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I wanted to take away, I mean, we'll get to Minnesota because Minnesota's made some waves today. But what about you, Chris? I mean, I think you also, just like me, you don't want to drink the orange punch, but.
Well, I mean, you kind of just have to play the teams that are in front of you, you know? And so. I was telling you the other day, like, it's nice to feel bad for another team for once. It's something I've always, like, back when the Tigers were really good in the early parts of the decade, you'd see these other teams and they'd have, like, this, you know, random 26-year-old reliever just trying to hold on who can't throw strikes, or a 35-year-old who's just, you know, hoping for one last hurrah. And that's been the Tigers basically for the last 4 years. And it's kind of nice to have that be the other team. Yeah. And what's fun about the Tigers is, you know, I don't want to say that it's necessarily for real. They are beating up on bad teams, but they're doing it with a roster that's really different than it was to begin the year. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of what the Giants have done in the last several years of cycling through these players and getting guys from out of nowhere. I don't know what the people named Vossler and there's probably a Skippy in there at some point, but you know, you see guys like Haas has come in and been a monster. You know, who knows if it'll last. You know, Badu is one of the best stories in baseball. Zach Short has come in and provided some pop and good defense. Jake Rogers was doing it on both sides of the ball in a way that's some fun. You know, Scoobal and Mize have really stepped up. But there's definitely been some luck. Like, Willy Peralta isn't suddenly a great pitcher. He's got his peripherals are all pretty much the same as they've always been. He's not striking guys out. He's walking guys. So that's going to come back down to earth. I still don't understand how Matt Manning is having any level of success given what he's throwing. So I do think it's going to come down a little bit, but man, it's just nice to see a team that's competitive and fun to watch and doesn't feel out of a game basically ever now, which is, it's just new. It's a new feeling for the last several years.
Yeah, it's, and you know what, what I've been really enjoying about this whole experience is that we've seen fans out there coming out there with a lot of energy, a lot of the quote-unquote Tigers Twitter, whatever that terminology means. I don't know if there's a Giants Twitter, quote-unquote, but no, I mean, it's just, it's good to see that, and it's infectious. And also at the same time, what you said is correct. They're doing what they have to do against the teams that they're supposed to beat. And amazing enough, I mean, you have some performances like Kyle Funkhauser, who has not allowed a hit or run now in 16 straight innings of work. Jimenez is going out there pitching two innings, which he hasn't done in a long time. So, Jeff, I'll ask you, in terms from an outsider's point of view, from the National League, which is, I mean, the National League West is such a ferocious beast. In terms of watching the NSL or the AL Central beating itself up, what's your thoughts about the Tigers' season from afar?
Yeah, I mean, for starters, I like that they went out and signed Robbie Grossman to start the year. He's kind of one of my quietly under the radar favorite players because he doesn't hit for a ton of power. Although I think he has like 15 home runs this year, but he's one of those guys. He really gets on base at a high clip, works the counts, and I'm honestly surprised that the Giants didn't try to pick him up. But yeah, I mean, obviously with the Tigers, if we go back to 2017 with the Giants and the Tigers, they were two of the worst teams in baseball, and they accumulated some assets since that time. And you know, it does sound like the Tigers are kind of maybe not the competitive windows opening, but they're taking the next step in their development, you know, and they're taking care of the lesser teams, you know. It's great that they're beating the Rangers. It's great that they're beating up, was it the Royals that they played recently?
Twins. And
which one?
Twins.
Twins. Okay. I mean, but that's the sign of a team that's progressing, right? Because if you go back to where the Tigers were just a couple of years ago, I mean, they probably, instead of rattling off 9 or 7 wins in a row, they probably go 4-3 or 3-4 and we'd be okay with it, right? I mean, that's kind of what it seems like, and of course it's good to see that Casey Mize is having a nice season after maybe a rough rookie year last year. It's unfortunate that Scooble, yeah, it's unfortunate that he underwent Tommy John surgery recently. And then obviously with the story with
Turnbull.
Okay. I'm getting the names mixed up, but and then with the story with Badu, I mean, that's kind of how you find way. I mean, when you find kind of unheralded gems like that, I mean, that's kind of how you build a strong roster. You make some good free agent signings, but the base of your organization is based on, you know, building through the draft and then finding maybe one or two guys that were overlooked by other teams. I mean, that's kind of where the Giants are at right now, too.
Yeah, and I want to get to the Giants here. And sure. The thing is, I really liked how they built their pitching staff in the offseason. It was one of those things where, and Chris and I have talked about, I know you've been in the part of this conversation in our Slack channel on our fan side. It's impressive that the Giants are able to go out there and they get a guy in Alex Wood who has been kind of beat up a little bit, but he's been able to come in, provide 88 innings of quality work. I mean, it's he's a guy who's going to go out there and at least be a gamer. Same thing with Johnny Cueto, who I honestly wasn't even sure what Giants fans were expecting out of him. But the Anthony D. Schiaffini signing was one of the ones that I wish the Tigers would have gone after him. And he has done really well. I mean, 23% strikeout rate. He's got a 2 WAR. But then, I mean, Kevin Gausman, that was such a key re-signing to get him back there. But talk about the Giants' approach to the offseason, because I thought they had quietly one of the better off seasons in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, I think depth was the key buzzword that we kept using when looking at the moves the Giants were making. With signing a guy like DeSclafani, I mean, it's easy to see him. I mean, he struggled, but when you looked at his stats, he struggled at the Great American Ballpark, which is one of the more hitter-friendly ballparks. And it was just easy to envision him needing a change of scenery, going to a more pitcher-friendly park like Oracle Park, and Comerica Park would have been another good park for him too, because I mean, the dimensions are so big. he probably would have had success there too. But yeah, I mean, the Giants, they did quietly have a nice offseason. They added a bunch of starting pitchers with Sanchez, with DeSclafani, Wood. And then I think I'm missing one. I am missing one. I mean, obviously they re-signed Gausman. But when it comes to building the bullpen, I mean, they have one of the better bullpen ERAs in baseball right now, and maybe the underlying numbers don't necessarily support that. But they also went out and they did it by through a lot of like minor league signings and a lot of, you know, just minor moves that didn't really capture a lot of attention. You look at the guys who are there right now, like Jay Jackson, Dominic Leon, and Zach Littell, and they've all over the past, I mean, throughout this year, Jay Jackson's relatively new to the roster, but Littell and Leon have become leverage relievers in the Giants bullpen. They were both brought in on minor league deals. Jake McGee was signed to a 2-year, $5 million contract. John Brebbia was signed for $800,000, and he's under team control for a couple more seasons. And then Jose Alvarez has been quietly good as well. So, I mean, you look at the offseason, they added a lot of pieces in a lot of different areas to kind of fortify their roster. I mean, for instance, they didn't really need to add an outfielder, but they still traded for one in Lamont Wade Jr., and he's already hit 9 home runs for them. And they didn't really necessarily need to get another middle infielder, but they did with Tommy LaSella. He's been injured for the most for most of the season, but he was kind of having one of his better games before he hit the injured list. It was quietly a good offseason. They didn't really go out and give out any huge contracts to anyone. You know, they still have the flexibility in future seasons to add if they need to, but they definitely position themselves well in 2021.
And I'll say from my perspective, at least the outside, one of the most interesting stories of the Giants this year is kind of the fountain of youth that they apparently found.
Yeah.
Buster Posey, Brandon Crawford, and Longoria before he were hurt was all having really awesome seasons, and the other two guys still are. And I'm just kind of curious if there's any explanation for that. Is it Gabe Kapler breaking out the tanning light on the undercarriage, or is this just is this just kind of one of those things that these are really talented players and they're kind of having a late career renaissance?
Yeah, I mean, the first part is true, that they are very talented and they have been for a very long time. But when Gabe Kapler came over to the Giants in the 2020 offseason, 2 years ago, he created a coaching staff that was that had plenty of risk, because a lot of these coaches didn't really have a lot of major league experience. Some of them hadn't played a lot of pro ball, but they understood analytics, understood where today's game is moving. And especially with the hitting coaches that they brought in, I mean, they understand the biomechanics of teaching hitting and trying to get, you know, people to hit the ball and air more, because that's kind of what hitters are trying to do. So I think that the hitting coaches, they quietly get a lot of credit from many of the key hitters, but I think they have a huge part in explaining why guys like Posey and Crawford and Belt and Longoria are doing so well this year. In the case with Longoria and Belt, when healthy, they both have been pretty good. And then Posey and Crawford were all-stars this year. Posey missed it because of injury, but Crawford was there.
Yeah. I think I saw that Crawford made a specific swing change this year, and it's kind of he's always just shocked me with how athletic he is for his size.
Yeah.
He's not like a giant, but he just looks kind of hefty out there, but he's an awesome shortstop. And he, to make that sort of swing change in your mid thirties is remarkable to me. And it's impressive to see what he's doing.
Yeah. I mean, there's more to it than just this one observation, but he's opened up his stance quite a bit. He's probably impacting the ball at a much better angle now than he used to. But yeah, it's kind of crazy to see a 34-year-old shortstop have the best season of his career, like what we're seeing with Crawford.
Yeah, and the biggest takeaway too about the Giants too is that you have guy. I mean, I know that Mike Yastrzemski is a guy that everybody was kind of hoping was going to have this continue to grow in his career.
Yeah,
In terms of, look at some of his numbers, he's still doing a very good job. WRC plus of over 122. So he's walking a 10% clip, but is it, are fans pleased with his performance? It's 16 home runs. I mean, everybody seems to be, and Giants fans I know are pretty critical from my understanding. They're, you know, some of the, I know there's other way teams are like, Giants fans are pretty crass, but has everybody been happy with Yastrzemski's performance this season?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't heard or seen anything suggesting that anyone is dissatisfied with his performance. Of course, it helps to have one of the best records in baseball. But I think last year, I mean, it looked like he was just taking the next step from becoming like a high quality above average player to becoming a star. And then this year, he's kind of been more of how he was in 2019. And that's still a very good, you know, valuable player on the roster. I don't know if he's taken a step back necessarily or anything like that. The 60-game season was a very small sample, but I'd say pretty much everyone is happy with his performance so far. He's going to hit 25 home runs if he's healthy. I mean, he's played really good defense in right field. He's somebody who can play every day. He's not a platoon hitter. He does a lot of good things in the field.
Jeff, with the deadline coming, do you see a big splash move coming from the Giants, or do you think it's going to be more like maybe one or two moves that just fit into the puzzle and help the team along?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be great if the Giants went out and got like Max Scherzer, Chris Bryant, and Craig Kimbrel, right? That would be awesome. But I wouldn't expect that was Idy. You know, he's mentioned in the past that he's focused on balancing the present with the future, and that kind of makes me think he's not going to go out and offload any major prospect capital to acquire a guy who's going to be under team control for beyond the season. I think they're probably going to focus on rentals, to be honest. And it sounds like they're targeting starting pitching. A couple of names that come to mind. I know Danny Duffy was just rumored to be a target for the Giants. Zach Davies makes some sense in terms of bullpen arms. I'd really like them to look at maybe Ryan Tepera and the Cubs, and Yimi Garcia of the Marlins. I think all of those guys could be had for a reasonable at a reasonable cost. So I think it's going to be, to answer your question, I think it's going to be kind of more depth like moves. I don't know if it's going to be anything that really makes any headlines on July 31st, but you know, it's a move. It'll be moves that could definitely position themselves better for a run down the stretch.
Jose Cisnero was crazy. I mean, the Giants have a couple. And speaking of prospects too, this is a system that it doesn't. I don't want to say it's a big headline system. I mean, you have Joey Bart, who's been hitting pretty well. Talk about there's the shortstop Marcio Luciano was off to a pretty good start too. Was there anybody else in terms of like pitching wise? It seems like it's very outfield, infield heavy, and then outside of that, there's Kyle Harrison. But is there any other pitchers or anybody else that's kind of under the radar in San Francisco?
Yeah, I mean, Seth Corey was a third round pick in 2017. He was drafted out of high school. I know some prospect publications had him as a top 100 prospect heading into the 2020 season when we thought there was going to be a 2020 season. So on the pitching side, there are a lot of arms that they have who are very similar in terms of their, you know, they're more pitchability over stuff type of pitcher. So guys like Caleb Killian, who is an eighth round pick in 2019, he's already in Double A. Of course, Kyle Harrison, as you mentioned, he's a name to keep an eye on. They drafted Will Bednar. He's probably going to slot in as one of their better pitching prospects in the system. But it is a system that is definitely light on pitching. In terms of position players, that's obviously where the names are at. Will Wilson's in Double A. He's off to a nice season. Marco Luciano is leading. I think he's leading Low A West, which is where San Jose plays. It used to be the California League. He leads Low A West in home runs, and I think he's only 19 years old at the moment. Elio Ramos just got promoted to Triple A. There are a lot of guys who are doing well this year. There is one guy who I might like more than just about anyone else, but his name is Brett Auerbach. He was an undrafted free agent last year. He can play just about anywhere. If you look at his baseball reference page, you see that he'll play second base, third base, and catcher. And he's got good bat-to-ball skills. Doesn't hit for a lot of power, although he has been hitting for a little more power recently. He's made some obvious swing changes when you look at him compared to his days in college. They're building a pretty good system, and also they're not really graduating anyone from the prospect list this year, so it's probably going to continue to rank highly. But it's also a very young system as well. The key names, Luciano and Matos, are both 19 years old, and there's still a lot of development that to be realized with both of them, and a lot of other names as well. So it's definitely kind of like an iceberg in a way, where you only see a couple of names on top, and then everyone else is kind of still in the lower levels.
Oh, I thought Chris, you were going to say something.
No, so you touched on the draft a little bit. They took Will Bednar.
Yeah.
People made a lot of noise about, the Angels taking all pitchers, but the Giants went really pitcher heavy too. I didn't wonder if you were going to talk about. There's some really interesting arms in there.
Yeah, I think there must be something to it, because I think the Dodgers went pretty heavy on pitchers as well. What was interesting about the guys that they picked up in the draft is I was expecting, more command over stuff with the guys that they went that they'd go after, because that's who they've targeted since the new front office took over. But the guys that they picked this year, to me, it's a little more stuff over command. Guys who might maybe struggle a little bit at first because they don't have the repeatability in their delivery to consistently pound the strike zone, but good swing and miss stuff. So I think that's the thing that stands out to me with the guys that they picked just in total. And Bednar is kind of one of the exceptions this year. I mean, he has great strikeout stuff, but he also has really good command as well. The guys behind him are kind of more middle of the pack, but definitely stuff over command at this point.
But the Giants second half, though, before we let you go, one of the questions I want to ask you was, the Giants are quote unquote would you say they're in, Chris, we talked about this before, they're in a rebuild, but they seem like they're way further ahead than the Tigers are, and they seem like they're going to make some postseason noise. I'm not really sure. You got the Dodgers out there, you have the Padres. Are they going to just continue to stay the course? You mentioned this. Do they stay the course? Or do they consider just getting the postseason and this was a successful season? I mean, the expectations for the Giants this year.
Yeah, I think getting to the playoffs is when this season started. I don't know if anyone expected the Giants to even be as much in the playoff picture as they are right now. So, I mean, to me, that's a huge success. And anything that comes after that is great. I would love it if they went to the World Series and won again. That would be great. But I think if you go back just a couple of years and look at where the Giants were in 2019 or 2018, no one really could have predicted that they'd be as good as they are right now. And this rebuild, which never really fully took place, it feels like it's the rebuild is in a sense over, and that their competitive window is beginning to open up. So I think with how they approach the trade deadline, it's still going to be, they're still going to go. They're not going to, blow up the farm system because they feel like this is a chance that they have to win the World Series. But I think they're also going to be a tough team to play because they do so many things well right now. I mean, they have one of the best defenses in baseball. If you look at outs above average, they were a number one or two just last week. With Gosman and DeSclafani, I mean, that's a pretty good 1-2 punch right there. The bullpen definitely needs help, even though they have pitched well. But they have some good arms there as well.
Do they have any need for an on-base source like Robbie Grossman?
I feel like I write something every year about why the Giants should sign or trade for Robbie Grossman. So I would be stoked. They definitely need outfield help. They have some soft spots if you look at the Giants. Oh.
Yeah, apparently he didn't like the Robbie Grossman idea. That was funny. Hey, if they want Victor Reyes, there you go.
Oh, hey, don't you say that. Bite your tongue.
I shall not bite my tongue on that.
home run, stolen base, sack fly, RBI today. The man's a producer.
Well, against the Rangers, yeah. I mean, you know, it is what it is. But we'll wait for Jeff to get back, and then we'll end the segment. But then we'll get into the good, the bad, the ugly, and the inside of numbers. But, I mean, if you look at the Giants, again, Chris, I've talked about this before, too. It just seems like a guy like, for example, you know, Tyler Rogers, he's been with the Giants forever. Like, you don't realize that some of their homegrown talent in their bullpen has just, it's been there for, it's been staples.
And he's the dude with the crazy arm angle, right? Like just the bonkers and the bonkers. Yeah. No, I don't know. I mean, it's such a weird sort of rebuild. I know you guys are just talking about that because, like you said, they didn't really get the rebuild going as we would recognize it. They suddenly just were really good with a bunch of veterans. And I think Crawford's gone after this year. I don't know how much longer they have Posey.
They have a team option for 2022 with a buyout for $3 million. I feel like with how he's performed, they're probably going to exercise that team option, but we'll see.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's interesting. Luciano there is probably the shortstop of the future, but I don't know. They're going to bring Crawford back for a year or two. We'll see, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they could. I'd be a little skeptical if it was anything more than 2 years, given his age.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that he's playing a premium position.
Yeah, all things considering, I mean, it's good to see the Giants kind of ahead of the rebuild. And the reason why I'm bringing on Jeff is because we look at the kind of compare the Giants to Tigers all the time because the rebuild started around the same time.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting to see how they're at 60 wins already. And a division where you saw the Dodgers last year win the World Series, you saw the Padres spend a bunch of money, and they were able to solidify themselves in some good solid trades too. Giants are just like, you know what? No, we're good. And doing little things like that, you're absolutely right about that. But yeah, again, having a pitching staff like a 1-2 combo like that of Gausman and the Scott Favonini really does go a long way. And pitching depth wise, I know Aaron Sanchez is on the IL. I still like that signing as a general because they at least tried to see him out and see what he was capable of. He was under 30 years old. There's no, I mean, just taking a flyer on him, if you will.
At the end of the day, for me, just, you know, as someone who watches from afar, it's more proof it's a GM's game. And Zaidi came with a reputation and he's lived up to it so far. Would you agree?
He's done everything. And when he inherited the Giants roster, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of flexibility. I mean, they had a lot of veterans on very lucrative contracts that they couldn't move. So he just kind of had to make small moves around the margins, and you know, the some of those contracts have fallen off the books, so there's a little more flexibility. And you know, what we saw last year is he was pretty aggressive once he had a little more financial flexibility to make some moves. So I think, I mean, he's obviously done very well this since taking over for the Giants, and he's probably going to be in the running for executive of the year. To be honest, he's going to be one of the top options.
Yeah, if you think about it, too, he built a lot of that Dodgers team, too. I mean, the 2016 draft was all him. And it's kind of ironic to watch him, like, probably go back and go, I mean, just kind of best of both worlds right there in some way. But so you can find all Jeff's work at Around the Foghorn. It's a fan-sided site. It's our Giants, our friends over from the Giants side. And is there anything you wanted to pimp out, podcasts, articles, anything you want to let the people know about?
No, I mean, that's good enough. I'm happy to talk Giants baseball, Tigers baseball. It's great chatting with you guys and getting a little more perspective. I don't know how you guys feel, but when you write about one team, it kind of creates like blinders. You don't really see what's going on around baseball. So nice to get a little more perspective, to be honest.
No, and Jeff, ever since I started this, now it's going to be going on 2 years coming up in December. I've never been more focused on one team in my life, but then, like I said, I've always tried my hardest to just like go, okay. I mean, I have my teams. I have, like, I love the NL Central, and there's other much baseballs I can. But you're right. It's just when you start getting into that fact where you're like, oh, I forgot that so and so played for a team or something like that. So
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I had no idea who Eric Haas was. Is it Eric Haas?
Yeah.
Before looking at his baseball reference or before looking at the Tiger stats, So it shows how much I'm paying attention.
Yeah, but then again, I mean, to give you an example of Darren Ruff, and it's a guy who's been around the league for a long time. He's 34 years old, and I forgot he was even in the league until I realized he was on the Giants roster. So, but yeah, it works. That's what I love about baseball, just seeing these the Giants today. Like when they had Joe Morgan in the 80s, I mean, this guy was no more as a Red. Then he comes over to San Francisco and is productive in his late part of his career. And Giants always seem to do that. They always have some, they get a guy that was good somewhere else. And Darrell Evans, by the way, the biggest free agent signed the Tigers ever had, has a really good years in San Francisco. Matt Noakes was a Giants prospect before the Tigers traded for him in 86.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so yeah, I could go on and on about wax poetic about the about that. But Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this evening. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. You know, it was great chatting. Like I said, it was great to chat baseball with you guys, and hopefully we can do it again soon.